Growing up, cereal was one of the best parts of being a kid. But I had to give it up because I realized it was too full of sugar and junk. I really shouldn't eat that stuff. Go to magicspoon.com/TMS and grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code TMS at checkout and save $5 off your order. Coming up on TMS, Yawning Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
This candle smells like my Kyvax.
My divorce was free.
Scott hates balls in his tea.
The vag, the vag, the vag is on fire.
Men are spiders, women are kittens.
Yeah, when you put it that way, it's still gross.
Donnie Pneumatic.
Gwyneth's explosive vagandal.
Pen 15 could not be done with dudes.
Brokeback bathtub.
Tacos submergible.
O'Hare he didn't.
Bringing sexy back with Jury and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Hi, I invited Robert for dinner. Oh, how nice. And I only have cold cuts.
Well, why don't I just go and get some Kentucky Fried Chicken?
Burger and coffee.
Coming right up. The Morning Stream.
This is The Morning Stream. It's just what the doctor ordered.
Everybody, welcome back to TMS. It is the morning stream, and it is Tuesday, January 19th, 2021. I be Scott Johnson, there be Brian Ibbett.
Yar! Hello, Scott Johnson.
Hello. You be cleaning those decks, and then you be putting the sail up, or whatever pirates do.
These pipes are clean!
I guess he wasn't a pirate, but...
No, but it's fine.
The pirate ship reference.
Yeah, very well done. Welcome to the show, everybody. It's Tuesday. We're glad to be here. Hope you're all well.
Yes.
Is it the day? It's not the day of. Wait, today's
the day
not
before. It's the day before the inauguration.
Okay. Inauguration tomorrow. A grand every 4 to 8 year tradition here in the States United.
Right.
It's nothing weird this time. It's all good. Everything's good.
Part of me wants to be a dick and set off firecrackers tomorrow
when do
the,
it.
During the like for the inauguration because
do it.
It seemed like we had some neighbors that set those off anytime
was there was a happy Trump day. Sure,
look, Trump accomplishment. So really, they didn't set them off very much.
Look, why not let your freak flag fly? Go ahead and. Pop off, yeah. Brian. Pop off.
There we go. Yeah. I'll do that. I'll pop off. Pop off.
Oh, speaking of any excuse, that's fantastic.
Can't not do it.
Nope. Yes. Welcome to the show. I want to thank the hundreds, and I mean hundreds of people, who sent information about Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina candle exploding.
Holy cow. And there's... I want Snopes on this. I want Snopes on this case.
Yeah, someone needs to. We need a thorough investigation before we're willing to accept us at face value. Because I'm the same. I'm like, sure, yeah. Whatever. I know that if you leave a candle burning for too long, glass is glass and heat is heat. And if you're in the right conditions, you can pop the glass and the whole thing will fall apart because you were dumb and left it on all night. Like that's a candle thing, not a
right. Right.
When
and that
Paltrow
won't be an explosion.
Thing.
That'll be a crack, but basically you'll just get wax melting all over the damn place.
Right. So for those not caught up on this, Gwyneth Paltrow made a candle for her Goop brand that is basically, it's supposed to be her vaginal candle, her Virginia, okay?
Yeah, it's a floral candle that Gwyneth Paltrow alleges... smells like her nethers.
Yeah, which I don't believe for a minute.
I don't
because
believe
it just
that either,
it's just
yes.
A lovely candle.
I fart rainbows, Gwyneth. What do you think of that?
I know you do because I've seen the colors come out of your pants.
I poop Tootsie Rolls.
Of course.
That's where you compare?
Think, where do you think they come from? Tootsie Rolls have an origin.
Yes.
So anyway, this thing was given to me by a friend of the show. Cleo, she sent that to me as a gift, and I've fired it up numerous times. It's a lovely candle. It's just a nice candle, and I've let it burn down pretty good before. But here's the story, and there's a whole bunch of sites and newspapers and stuff echoing the story. So I'm not saying that's proof, but it's out there. So here's how it goes. Gwyneth Paltrow candle, it says here, her vagina candle reportedly explodes in the UK inside of a woman's home. Better than a woman's. Well, anyway, yes. The Paltrow candle didn't pass the smell test, according to a report. I don't understand that. That's weird. Okay. Anyway, this candle the actress peddles on Goop exploded into flames in the living room of a UK woman who won the odiferous product on a quiz or in a quiz, according to The Sun. You know that reliable The Sun. Mm-hmm.
Sun.
Yeah. Well, one of the great...
reputable sources.
Sure. Uh-huh. Journalism's never known a higher mark than what they get out of The Sun over there. Anyway, the candle exploded and emitted huge flames with bits flying everywhere, says Jodie Thompson, age 50. She told the outlet, I've never seen anything like it. The whole thing was ablaze and it was too hot to touch. Well, yeah, if it's on fire. Like, freaking... Mm-hmm. Okay. Mom says there was an inferno in the room. Well, that seems like a little bit of an exaggeration.
Inferno?
Yeah. Was it towering? I mean, come on.
I'm trying to think. Was Gwyneth ever in a movie with a volcano or Dante's Peak or anything? I'm trying to think. There's nothing. I got nothing.
Yeah, I don't have anything either. She does say that her and her partner, David Snow, that sounds like a fake name for you're trying to protect the innocent, doesn't it? It's the baseball.
So she's the heat miser, and he's the snow miser.
Oh yeah, he's perfect to have involved. I didn't think of that. That's great.
That's right. Yes.
They said together they threw the flaming candle out the front door. Yoink! They just threw it out, and let the neighbors deal with it. Anyway, it says it could have burned the place down. It was scary for the time, but funny looking back that Gwyneth's vagina candle exploded in my living room. She says.
I hope they opened up their sliding doors and tossed it out.
Yeah, I do too. I know why you're saying that too. I get it.
Yeah.
I totally get it.
Yeah.
So we don't have any proof of this, but apparently, boy, you guys just like every other tweet yesterday.
I know it was. Yeah, it
like
was
hundreds, a hundred emails, Brian. 100
I believe it. Yeah.
Of people going
anything that has to. I mean, because it's got all of the tick the boxes, the check boxes, right?
Oh, yeah, this would be a story they'd give us even if we didn't have intimate relations with that candle already. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, if exactly. we didn't already have that candle, we would have still had people say, oh, this is a great TMS story. But because we had the candle and it's a great TMS story, perfect storm is what I say. Perfect storm.
Yes.
Anyway.
Exactly. So I'm looking at the article from The Sun.
Okay.
And the last photo that they put in the article... is a shot of this woman's home.
Okay.
Her entertainment center.
All right.
Her nice hardwood floors that it looks like she keeps her candles and a lava lamp on.
Yeah. Very hip. Very cool. All right.
But I mean, they can't like a hardwood floor and then just the lava, like basically right on the candles, right on the hardwood floor, right next to like those paper dangly things next to your TV. And
I'm going to say we may be looking at someone who's really bad at home fire safety.
That's
what we're looking at. Yeah. This person.
And 50 centimeters, if my math is correct. 50 centimeters, because she's saying a 50 centimeter flame left from the candle out the glass jar. Am I right that a centimeter, 10 centimeter, or I'm sorry, 10 millimeters is a centimeter, right?
Yes, correct. It's all tens.
So 500 millimeters, which is the length of this ruler.
Yeah.
I'm holding in my hand.
Yeah. That's how high the flame was.
Yes. So here's a dramatic reenactment.
Oh, sweet. Oh, look.
Oh, it smells like. Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina. I'll just light it.
I don't know. I think maybe she's full
of it. Oh, dear.
I think something happened. I think David Snow snuck some glycerin in there and did something weird. You know what I mean? Like, that's a little much. That can't. The stuff in there is just wax.
Yes, exactly. I think this woman is trying to, come across or you're trying to get across that something about Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina is flammable.
Oh, yeah,
that they actually put Kiss's blood in that comic book, that they actually put some of
Oh my gosh.
Put some of Gwyneth into every jar of candle.
Yeah, now you're cooking with gas.
Right, exactly. So I call BS and Snopes, when you're done actually fact-checking important things, please look at this article.
And thanks for everyone who sent that. That just shows you're engaged, and we appreciate that a lot. Okay, also we heard from a listener. This is Tim who wrote in and said, so this is a really interesting perspective. I'm so glad he wrote in because we've been talking kind of ad nauseum the last, week or something about what movies were so hugely impactful. Impactful, influential, or whatever in our formative years. And for us, or for a lot of people, John Hughes fits that quite nicely. Others have mentioned others. And then we've tried to figure out what generation has what and that sort of thing and which ones carry forward and all that. So we've been having that back and forth conversation. And in comes this perspective that I had just not given any thought to. So I really like this. Tim says, he has thoughts on what movies matter when you grew up. And he says, I was born in 1980 and grew up as a Mexican kid in a small racist town, USA. He didn't say what town.
I've driven through there and I've gotten gas, I think, at their gas station.
Rifle County. Anyway. says, I hated all the John Hughes movies. Just full of shitty, rich white kids and the whole world in front of them. And they're still miserable. There really weren't any movies.
He's not wrong.
He's not. There really weren't any movies about Mexican kids. Maybe La Bamba or American Me, but those weren't great for kids. I guess I related to the black people movies most, like Friday and the Kid and Play movies. Interesting perspective.
Really, I hadn't thought
of that. Like, what a bunch of whiny boobs we are sometimes, you know?
It's true. The only one of the characters that was even barely scraping by in all those John Hughes movies, and somebody might be able to offer more, but I think it was Molly Ringwald's character in... I'm sorry, not Molly Ringwald's. Molly Ringwald in Pretty in Pink was... She lived on the other side of the tracks, right?
Yeah, she came from
Harry Dean Stanton and...
A lower place, yeah.
Kind of had to scrape money together. But I think Some Kind of Wonderful wasn't...
Oh, right.
And Mary Stuart Masterson's character.
She was super poor, was the idea. So was Bender. John Bender was also.
We don't know that.
He says he was. I mean, the way
that's true. That's true. Yeah. I mean,
he described his home life as, abusive dad.
What I got from my dad on Christmas.
Yeah. Cigarette.
Pack of cigarettes. Smoke up, Johnny boy.
I guess what I related to wasn't so much the whiny, oh woe is me, stuff. Mm-hmm. What I related to was interrelationships in high school were hard. And these people illustrated pretty well my experience. That being said, now that you mention it, I don't know if there are any, people of color in any John Hughes movies that I can think of? I really can't think of any. Now, obviously, John Hughes is speaking from his experience and his growing up and all, his whatever. So maybe he didn't grow up around anybody of color, but I'm just saying there just doesn't seem to be a lot of representation in those movies. I mean, even things like Planes, Trains or Uncle Buck or freaking any of it. Are there black people in his movies? Someone tell me, quick. I don't think there are.
I hate thinking that one of my movie directing heroes was, didn't feature any sort of representation in his movies, but really I'm having a hard time. Like,
no, it's just white kids.
Weird Science.
It's people, I guess.
Some Kind of one.
Which explains why we liked it so much and why we were into it, because it was a pretty good mirror to our upbringing, but turns out.
I know. And Allura for Real wants to bring up, Long Duck Dong was a non-white character in a John Hughes film. We don't want that to be our only source of representation of cultures and
races. It might
races
be, though, right? It might actually be.
Jeez.
That's no good.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm black and I didn't particularly care nor notice. Well, good.
Oh, yeah. That's good. I mean, here's the, whatever. It's like anything. There's going to be, there's going to be, you're going to have stuff like this. And this isn't me going, oh no, what was John Hughes thinking? I'm not about to retcon my entire love of his movies. I think his movies are magical. I mean,
there was the whole scene where Anthony Michael Hall is like, you cannot hold a smoke. That's what it is. So, you know, there we go.
Who was he? I don't want to know.
Like just, he was just doing a racist.
I don't want to know what he was doing. Something bad.
Somebody named Kyvax in our chat room says, we talked about this on FilmSack 401. I mean, I think you mean you guys talk, because I don't know what a Kyvax is.
I know Kyvax is.
There's a Randy Deluxe and there's a Brian Dunaway, but I don't know what a Kyvax.
Well, there's an old, the Toyota Kyvax was around in the 70s.
Oh, the Toyota Kyvax. Yeah. Is that the one that would blow up when you ran into it?
No, that was the Ford Pinto, Kyvax. That was the
Gwyneth Paltrow candle.
This candle smells like my Kyvax.
Randy.
Yeah, we know who you are. We know exactly who you are.
But I did have to double take. I mean, I know these Kyvax
sure. But I don't think we talked about it like in this context, did we? We didn't get this deep with it. Like, I don't feel like, I feel like this is hitting me right in the head. Like, this email really caught me off guard.
I know. No, I. Because it, like, it does feel kind of. Sad. Like, I'm looking back. It's like, oh man, I don't want that to be the case.
Learning XP says, without Ernie Hudson and Ghostbusters, John Hughes had nothing to do with Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
We're not talking about the whole of 80s.
Dice Tomato brought up Lloyd Dobler and Say Anything as being poor, and was like, oh, that was Cameron Crowe. That wasn't John Hughes either.
Definitely not John Hughes, yeah. Oh, you're making it stupid. I love these movies. It's not, I guess what I'm saying is, it's okay to feel like you relate to a thing, but it would be good if during the 80s, when I was being brought up, it would have been better if we were better at representation in film and entertainment. Just because,
hey,
you know?
I'm going to redirect, or I'm going to deflect, Scott. Hey, how about that Sex in the City? Huh?
Oh, yeah. That was good
for rich white women, huh? Yeah. Let's look at that.
Yeah, that was real good.
We'll just push our discussion. Yeah,
and they were all about these white men.
How about
men?
That Sex in the City?
Yeah, Sex in the City, it definitely fits. What about Seinfeld?
You know, they're
Seinfeld?
Doing not a reboot, but another...
Oh god!
10-episode sequel on HBO.
Really?
Yeah, and Kim Cattrall. Well, Kim Cattrall and Sarah Jessica Parker. Let's just say they don't get along. So,
are they not going to be on together then?
No, Kim Cattrall is not participating in the Sex and the City reboot.
I didn't know they didn't get along. Was that true the whole production? They never.
It was
along?
Apparently true. I guess. Yeah, she. Kim Cattrall was on an interview. I guess I could just call her Kim at this point. Kim was on an interview with Piers Morgan and said something about how she never felt like they welcomed her as part of the group. And I'm guessing that they were like, there was like a little cliquish thing between Cynthia Nixon and Kristen Davis and Sarah Jessica Parker that they didn't include Kim Cattrall in.
I know why.
Is the age difference that big, you think, or no, what?
I know what it is. She was in Mannequin, and they're pissed.
Mannequin, he was.
Yeah, they hate Mannequin, and who can blame them?
I hate Mannequin too.
Had that horrible Starship song in it, like
the worst James Spader performance you'll ever see.
Yeah, is about a mannequin who comes to life. who would want to hang around?
Oh
with you?
My God! When we that speaking of film sack, that does need to be on the list.
I think it. Probably is or has been or could. Hey, let's check with this Toyota Kyvax in the chat room. Maybe he
can the new Toyota Kyvax.
Get in there and get that on the list, there, buddy pal. Well, anyway, we've had our
anyway. Our yeah, what are we? Things.
This is great. All right, we have time for the news today, which is lovely because sometimes we run out of time, but not today. Yeah. And it starts with this. Let's get to the news brought to you by
The Boop Show, happening tonight. Scott, what's on tap for you?
Well, at 3:30 Mountain Time, we'll do it live here at frogpants.tv, but you can catch it on the podcast if you want. Me and Brian Dunaway are going to be doing a deep hard look at a couple of indie video games. Now, one of them, arguably less indie than usual, but it came, it's a sequel to the originally indie game called Everspace, which was this really cool kind of roguelike. Imagine FTL, but with like really good graphics. It was kind of like that. Okay. And this is a sequel to that, and it's a very, very different game. I played a ton of it, and I'm very excited to talk about it. So come and hear what me and Dunaway have to say about the games we've chosen, plus a whole bunch of other fun stuff. We do it on the weekly. That's at frogpants.com/BOOP for details, or you can just search for it wherever you get your podcasts, and you'll get it there. Okay. Brian, let's start today's news off with this story. A Crossville law firm. I don't know where Crossville is.
I don't either. Don't assume because I go by the name Coverville that I know every other ville.
Oh, you don't know all the villes?
Scott, come on. I don't know all the villes, man.
What about Whoville? Crossville. You know, but you're familiar with Whoville?
Whoville? I'm certainly familiar with Whoville.
Okay. Do you know about...
My GPS grew 3 sizes larger when I looked that one up. Let me look up Crossville and see if I can figure out where this is.
How about
Although
Shelbyville?
The chat room is going to beat me to it.
They probably will. Shelbyville? Do you like Shelbyville?
I do like Shelbyville. Mythical town. Tennessee is what I'm seeing probably.
All right. Fair enough. It sounds like something might happen in Tennessee. Crossville Law Firm is giving away free divorce work. So basically, they'll handle your divorce case for Valentine's Day. So they're going to do a run of free divorce cases.
Nice.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
Yeah.
So you're breaking up with this person you've been married to for 10 years. You're all done. He had an affair with a secretary. You're out of there. And these guys are kind enough to belly up and say, happy Valentine's Day. Here's your free lawyering for your divorce case.
Nothing says I love you like you've been served.
Yep, that's right.
I guess that's a different thing, but...
Yeah, I guess either way.
I guess it depends on how severe this divorce is.
Yeah, if you're getting served for a divorce, you could see that, though.
This stuff's pretty bad. We're still watching Pen 15.
Oh, yeah.
Enjoying it tremendously, watching these 33-year-old women aptly play 13-year-olds, especially freaking Maya.
Around other 13-year-olds. It's just
around
nuts.
Other 13-year-olds, which gets a little awkward when they have to kiss.
If this was dudes... It wouldn't happen.
Oh, it would not happen. No,
it wouldn't
for sure.
happen.
Oh my God. I didn't even think about that.
I did. I was watching it with Kim and I went, you know, if this was like about two guys in junior high and these were all 13-year-old girls, we're not doing this. This isn't a show.
Right, exactly.
This doesn't exist.
Oh God, no kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a
But that it is it is a tremendously funny show. And I mean both actresses are great, but the woman who plays Maya is just freaking brilliant.
Yeah, she's really good.
Really nails that, the actions of a whacked out 13-year-old.
That's her actual mom, by the way.
I know, yeah. It's great.
There is a scene where she's consoling her daughter after some, I can't remember what
happened.
In the
bathtub.
In the bathtub. So you got your naked real mom and you're naked in the tub. I couldn't deal with that. That's a funny show,
though. The only way to... That scene can work, or that casting can work.
Yeah, and then there's already people in the chat saying, "Wait, why is this okay for girls?" Yeah, no, this is the age-old question. I don't know the answer. I don't know why it's more acceptable, but apparently it is. We're not going to solve that today. I can promise you that.
Yeah.
So don't look to me and Brian for why is it okay for girls.
Because yeah, we don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
But. It just is, and it's a universal truth.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, maybe it isn't, but society says it's at least a little. I mean, listen, if this was two dudes and this was this show, it's all you would have heard about for months.
Yeah,
it's all we would have talked about was this controversial thing, and the show would have been canceled, and everyone would have been, you know, fired and moved on and whatever. But I don't know why it is. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not saying it's okay. I'm saying I don't know. I don't get it. Society's weird. Sometimes we're like, okay, let me ask you this. Brian, let's get philosophical here.
All right. Oh, gosh. Okay.
Let's say I just now, like right now across the room, let's say I see a brown recluse creeping up over here.
Sure. Okay.
And I go, it's a brown recluse.
Yeah.
That's a spider. Yeah, you know,
it's on its back.
Right.
Causes the necrosis where your skin just eats away.
So I'm thinking about all that stuff and I'm going, oh no, I must go smash the spider. And so I do. I go kill it without remorse. I smush it into the ground and go and really grind it out. Right. Yeah. Now, if that was a kitten, I would be treated very differently. Wouldn't it? It's So what I'm saying is society has their limits, right? And I don't know where those lines sometimes are.
No, a kid is not going to kill you if it bites you.
Right.
Or, like, make your skin eat away.
All right, well, let's say it's a spider that's non-poisonous, that isn't going to eat me and give me necrosis. Let's just say it's a big furry spider.
I love Scott analogies. I love...
People are still going to step on that spider and kill it, even if it isn't going to hurt anybody. Or let's say a snake that isn't poisonous. They're still going to kill it. Because they're like, we can't have a snake in here. We must kill it. We must put traps out for the mice.
Chances are you invited the kitten into your house.
Yeah. But that's my point. It's lines, right? Society has its lines. And for some reason, Pen 15 gets away with a certain line. Whereas if it was men, it'd have to be scooched way back here and they wouldn't get away with it.
Yeah.
So what is that? Is that a combination of
It's a double standard.
History
is what it is.
And society and experience. And, like, I don't know what makes up these things. My point to the chat room today is we're not going to decide this on the air today. We can't.
No, it would take a lot more than the time we have allotted. Yeah. I mean, I think what it comes down to is it shouldn't be okay. If it's not okay one way, it shouldn't be okay the other way. Like, we should basically say, no, having a 13-year-old kid feel up to 33-year-old women probably isn't okay. Although I guess you never really see.
Yeah, they never do that. They never go that far. But they do, like, you know.
Oh, the ending prom scene of season one, Scott.
Yeah.
Or not prom, but the dance scene.
Yeah. They get right up to the edge. But if it was dudes, it would be a million miles from this. Like
a million miles, yes, would not. Yeah. Right.
And there's nothing wrong with asking why, you know?
No, exactly.
Try to figure out why. That's all I'm saying. But today is not the day we're going to solve
it. Maybe we'll get jury's take.
Oh, my God.
Jury's hot take on that.
Oh, I don't know if he'd even want to. All right. Here's another story for you. Oh, I never got to the point. Oh, yeah, I did. They're giving away free divorce stuff, so go get it.
Free divorce for Valentine's Day. Although, I guess it's just one free divorce, so you have to win the contest. I want to know what the criteria is. Like, do you have to have the worst marriage? Is that what they're going to be rating? Like, they're going to be, like, you write it and say, my husband does this and this and this, and that's why I should get the free divorce.
Exactly. How are they going to distinguish or discriminate? Maybe they just take as many as they can until they run out of, you know, there's like a limit of 20 and then they just do 20.
No, it's one. There's what, like, it says conducting a contest to give away a free divorce for Valentine's Day.
Oh, free. I thought it was just free divorce stuff. Interesting.
I want to see if we can get, there's got to be like an application page and I want to see.
Here we go.
All right. The divorce must be agreed upon by both parties. Contestants must submit a story as to why they wish to get divorced to our office. But poorly worded.
That is really poorly worded. What paralegal did you task with writing that? That's bad.
Yes. Submissions be accepted through the close of business February 15th. So the day after Valentine's Day, the winner selected Friday, February 19th. They thought of this too late. Submissions must also include telephone number, no cost for entry. Contestants will not be charged for Mrs. Power's services or court filing fees. The obvious thing is that they'll give away one prize and they'll have a bunch of people who now can become paid clients who didn't win. It's a great marketing thing to be able
to
say,
"That's what this is.
Well, you didn't win, but we'll handle your divorce for this much."
Yeah, we'll file for free, but that means you got to sign on for the full meal deal. You're totally right. That's what this is. And we're helping promote it. We're helping them with their promotion right now. That's what we're doing.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yes. It's
well
kind
done,
of
law firm. Well
it's
done.
It's kind of brilliant.
Yeah. Good job. All right. Here's a better story. What was that movie with Tom Hanks where he hung out in an airport all the time? Or for a long time?
The Terminal.
Terminal, that's what it was. The Spielberg deal. Well, we have a story that's a lot like that. A man lived inside O'Hare Airport for 3 months before he was detected. This is O'Hare is Chicago, right? Yeah.
O'Hare, Chicago. Sorry, I jumped onto. I got to keep going here because I linked to the powerslawcrossville.com website.
Yeah.
And all right, so before you go there, you're going to a website for a law firm.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you that they've got full motion video on their on their homepage, at the top of their page.
Good, I won't.
What
go
do you
there.
Think that full motion video of a law firm would be?
Okay, that's interesting. Hold on. So my natural tendency to say is to say, like, any of these things, or even like drug commercials, people are supposed to be out being having fun, hanging out of the park, dancing, whatever, like just people living their lives in some like sort of nicely filmed way.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like B-roll of, you know, we'll help you get through it and all that.
Yeah, that's not what this is.
It is a video of a tiger yawning that they've got going forward and then in reverse.
Why?
Because it looks, initially you're thinking, oh, the tiger's roaring. And then you see the telltale, like the cheeks kind of mushing together like a cat does when it yawns.
Are you kidding me?
I'm kidding. I gotta give this to you.
Wow, that's really weird. Okay, that's legit weird.
Yeah.
Here,
and then they show it forward, and then they show it in reverse, and it's like an constantly looping, and then they've got like,
Oh, you gotta see like this chat.
Blurry dust particles to make it look like it's, you know, like they photographed this in the wild.
Why? Why?
I don't know. I mean, I guess Margaret Jane Powers is a tiger, is a yawning tiger, hidden dragon. Is that,
you think they just had someone's kids good at websites and they're just like, can I do the cool lion reversing itself and like yawning over and over? Would that
yeah,
be okay?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Wow. That's ridiculous.
I love that it's yawning and that, you know, somebody's going to say, no, it's roaring. It's like, no, it's
no,
clearly
it's yawning.
Yawning.
Yeah, yeah. There's no roar there. That's officially this one of the strangest things I've ever heard. All right.
Sorry. Let's talk about.
Let's talk about Tom Hanks.
Move on to somebody living in O'Hare.
Tom Hanks is stuck in an airport. Everybody. A man lived inside there for 3 full months. Nobody knew he was there. He's a California man who people say claimed to be too afraid to fly due to COVID-19. Hid out for months in the O'Hare International Airport until this weekend and got arrested. Aditya Singh,
yeah,
I think
that
is it, age 36, is charged with felony criminal trespass to a restricted area of an airport and misdemeanor theft. In bond court Sunday, prosecutor says Singh arrived at the O'Hare Airport on a flight from Los Angeles on October 19th and allegedly has lived in the airport security zone ever since without detection. Cook County Judge Susan Ortiz reacted incredulously to the news, saying, so, if I understand you correctly, you're telling me that an unauthorized, non-employed individual was allegedly living within the secure part of the O'Hare Airport terminal from October 19th until January 16th and was not detected. I want to understand you correctly. She was just blown away.
It sounds like a Judge Judy clip.
God, it does.
So if I understand you correctly...
She starts doing this.
Shut up, sir. I'll get to you. Shut up.
I love when she does her watch thing. Like, hurry up. She's great. Put her on the Supreme Court. What are we doing?
No kidding. Yeah. I'm all for that. I'll vote.
Would she be eligible? I guess you could be eligible as long as you're in good standing with the bar, right? You don't have to.
I think so.
If you've got somebody wacky enough to put your name forward and you get passed, why not?
I mean, come on, would we really put somebody from a reality show in a place of power like that, Scott?
That seems crazy now that you say it that way. You're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, no one's ever going to take somebody whose previous fame is almost exclusively from a reality show.
She's the host of a reality show. Seriously, would we put her in a position of power like that?
No, I can't imagine it. I just can't imagine that happening. Well, anyway, here's what he did to survive there. there's a couple of United employees found him, asked him for his identification. He said he lowered his mask and showed them an airport ID badge that was he was wearing around his neck. The badge actually belonged to an operations manager who had reported it missing since late October. So the employees called 911. Boy, they did more work there than they did my last time I flew with their airline. Right? United is garbage. I hate United. Hate them.
Yeah, I don't like flying United.
Never had a good experience. Anyway, Haggerty and Singh reportedly found the badge in the airport. And was his claim is he was too scared to go home because of COVID. She told the other judge, the passengers were giving him food and stuff like that. Here's the thing: If you're afraid of COVID and that's why you're staying, see, I don't buy this because an airport is a transient place full of people coming in and going out. If you're going to get it, you're going to get it there, not on that one flight.
I agree. I don't think it was like, did he just get to the airport and decide that he was too afraid to fly?
It's weird.
Because of COVID? Yeah, but he stayed at the airport instead of going back to his home or wherever he was staying in Chicago. It's just really weird.
It sounds like hokum. I think he made up
the story. Does sound like hokum, like because of COVID. We're going to be using that for a long time. Oh,
what's your excuse?
Why did you steal that car? COVID.
Yeah. Why did you? Why aren't these papers on my desk at 8 a.m.? COVID.
COVID.
All right. Yeah. Moving on. This is great.
But good on him for staying undetected for 3 months. That actually is pretty damn impressive.
I know. You think they'll do a movie? They could do a movie. And you have. I'm not trying to be. This isn't me being, you know, typecasty or anything. But have that dude from. He's in the new Marvel thing too, but he's from
Camille Nanjiani.
Yes, Nanjiani. Yeah. Have him play this guy. Make it a comedy. Dude, he's really funny. Do three Jesus months of this guy hiding out in O'Hare. Now you got your movie. There's your script.
Have to be super buff. He'd have to explain why he's super buff.
Oh yeah, because he's really buff right now.
He's super jacked right now because of the Eternals thing. Yeah.
And he puts up like Instagrams and stuff, and he's not letting it go. He's as buff as ever seen.
So like he's, I think they're finished. Are they finished filming?
I think they're finished.
Or did they just pause it because of COVID?
I think they're done, and he's just staying buff.
Well, I mean, you know what? I mean, if I looked like that, I would do everything in my power to stay looking like that.
Right.
So yeah.
I wish when I was 118 pounds or no 218 pounds or whatever I was in 2015, I wish I would have stayed there. That would have been great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I didn't. Ice cream in the northeastern area of China has tested positive for COVID-19.
Oh, no. They're going to have to sequester the ice cream.
Yeah, the ice cream can't see any relatives.
Mm.
It was really looking forward to that birthday party with bubblegum squash. That's not a real flavor. I just made that flavor up.
Do you mean butternut squash? Wait.
What did I say? Bubblegum squash?
Bubblegum squash. I don't even know why butternut squash. That's not a flavor
either. Yeah. No. Of ice cream. No.
Bubblegum squash is my drag name. When I'm on RuPaul's Drag Race, I'm going to be bubblegum squash.
I'm voting for you on there. Let's see. This ice cream. So three ice cream samples, chocolate, strawberry, and taro. Or taro. I guess taro fruit or whatever it is.
Taro. No, taro root. Like poi is.
I always think of fruit, but it's a root, right? It's a root.
It's a root. Taro root. Yeah. Okay. And that is my go-to boba smoothie flavor is taro.
I like Fett. I like Boba Fett more than
it's your go-to Fett is boba?
I can't do boba tea because there's those... The whole point is those balls in there.
Yeah, the tapioca balls.
Yeah, I don't like it. I feel like I'm eating fish eggs. Tuna doesn't either.
That is like a... That's probably... more divisive than cilantro.
Yeah, for me.
You either like them or you don't. And I mean, I bet we could do a straw poll for that. And I bet you it would be either right down the middle or it would be 2/3 hate the tapioca balls, 1/3 like the tapioca balls.
Yeah. So my wife loves them. I can't do it.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
It's like fish eggs for me, like the bait. That's what I mean.
Oh, no, no.
That's like, the consistency
to me.
When
you squish them, they're like little, licorice bites or something, but not,
I mean,
not, they don't taste like licorice. Well, I mean, it's like,
yeah, and they don't, I don't mean, in
it's like having gummy worms in your drink.
Yeah. 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 That's actually right.
Yeah.
That's gross. That's gross.
Yes. When you put it that way, yes.
Put your gummy worms in your drink.
Right.
No, I don't want to.
It's a drink that it requires some concentration because, you know, you're sucking up through the straw and all of a sudden, shunk, you know, you get a, it's like the bank just gave you your deposit slip back because you didn't fill out the right thing.
Oh, I love, what's that called?
Vacuum tubes.
Vacuum tubes. I wanted, when I was growing up, I wanted a whole house.
Yeah.
It was just all, everything's connected with vacuum tubes, like at the bank. I love that stuff so much. Just that rattle and that sound, and off that thing goes, and you have to have it be transparent so you see it flying through the house.
I know. Oh. You know why? It's because it was the Jetsons. It was the closest thing we had to the Jetsons.
Pneumatic tubes, that's it.
Pneumatic, thank you. Yes. Yeah. What is Donnie? Donnie says vacuum.
Vacuum tubes.
It's magnets, Donnie. It's done with magnets. Donnie thinks it's vacuums.
That's like the third Big Lebowski reference I've heard today. It's making me want to watch that movie.
Oh, but that's not Big Lebowski. Isn't that's it? Just Shoot Me.
Oh, you're right.
It was David Cross on Just Shoot Me.
You can't say Donnie without me thinking.
Right, without you thinking of Buscemi.
Yeah. What is that about?
You're out of your element, Donnie.
Yeah. I can't
you know what you're
it.
Talking about, Don.
Donnie. Do I have anything with Donnie in it? Hold on.
An audio clip with Donnie?
I have things like this.
Donald is very obviously shown here. I mean, look at his hairdo.
Okay. That's great.
Donnie Pneumatic. That's really funny.
Donnie Pneumatic Tube. You wouldn't have walked out of that movie.
I wouldn't have walked out. That would have been a great movie right there.
Yep. All right.
D. Lee might just put the David Cross bit into chat if you have any interest in.
Hold on. Let me look at this here.
Okay.
Why am I unfamiliar with it? Oh, yeah.
I'm not hearing anything if you're.
Oh, you don't hear it?
No.
Gosh, dang it. I hate when I do that.
It's all right. Sorry.
It's okay.
But as long as the chat room's able to hear it.
No, they can't hear it either.
Oh, okay.
All right. Now let me try that again.
Okay.
Here we go.
Hey, Donnie. I think I finally got those tubes figured out.
Kill me.
You see, it uses hot air to force the capsule through the tubes.
Donnie says vacuum.
That show was all right.
It was all right.
Yeah.
You know what? It was, yeah.
For a three camera, everybody laughs mm-hmm. track thingy, mm-hmm. it was pretty good.
Great ensemble, though. I mean, you had David Spade in there and Laura San Giacomo.
Wasn't
and that dude who was on Galaxy Quest?
Wasn't that
Nicholas Pelitano? Not Pelitano.
Hey, who is the guy? Ah, my brain.
Cullen Tony? Nicholas Cullen Tony?
Was Putty on it? There? No Putty? Or Putty was? Or no?
No Putty did that I remembered.
What am I thinking? Oh, he did the other show with Spade later.
Yes.
They're all in bed.
Single men.
Single,
no, men of a certain...
Men of a single singleted. Singletons. Singleton men. I have no idea. Oh, Veronica Mars' dad. Yeah, that guy's cool. We love him. He's the
Enrico.
So happy to have you.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to come up with. Is it Enrico Colantoni? That's it.
Enrico
Colantoni.
That's it. That guy's great.
I keep... Here's where my mind goes when I hear that name. I think it's the fake name that Frank Drebin... or I think it's the singer that Frank Drebin poses as to sing the national anthem in the police squad.
Perfect.
But it's Enrico Palazzo is who I'm thinking of.
Perfect. That's
yes.
the perfect
anyway.
Thing to remember. Anyway, your ice cream may have COVID.
Enrico Palazzo!
By the way, so these are made by the Dacquido Food Company. They make cakes.
Oh, the COVID ice cream?
Yeah, ice cream, other frozen stuff. They locked everything down after they discovered it. Let's see. They infected samples made from milk and whey powder imported from New Zealand and the Ukraine. It's unclear if any of this got out. So anyway, just be careful. Don't, you know, ice cream. Just be careful. I can't have ice cream anymore, so I'm good. I'm safe.
Oh, they make sugar-free ice cream.
And it's gross. Have you had any?
I've had Halo Top, and it's great.
Really?
Yes.
Maybe I've just had the wrong kind. I had some
You've had the wrong kind. Halo Top, the one I recommend that I've had recently is like Reese's Peanut Butter Cup style. And Halo Top... Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, you will not think you're drinking sugar-free ice cream.
Halo Top Creamery. Okay.
Listen, you know, the people who are so divided in the chat room over tapioca balls and boba are like all saying Halo Top is legit.
Okay. I mean, the dairy's fine. I'm okay with dairy. I just can't do tons of sugar. And I know there's lactose and, you know, it's a kind of sugar, but... I just can't do
it. Oh, no. Jedi 71 says Halo Top is also not sugar-free. Really? Hold on a second. Have I been Seinfelding the yogurt, basically, and thinking that the...
they're just really good.
The fat-free yogurt is not fat-free.
Oh, man. They're right.
It's not sugar-free, it's just lower.
It's a lower calorie.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's also... Yeah, so I guess it's got stevia and... But it does have some cane sugar.
Yeah.
Processed sugar. Is that all right? Is that good for you? Or
330 calories per pint. That's still a lot. That's usually 330 calories per serving. So that's pretty low.
I know. That's the only thing where you look and say, wait, this whole thing is a serving?
Yeah, that's nuts.
Because that's a four serving container for me.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, that's easily. Multiple servings, but normally a single serving of regular ice cream would run you about 330 calories for a single serving.
Oh, I want to say that the back, and I'll fully admit I might have misread this, but I thought that the back said contents, one serving.
Oh, really?
Yeah, hold on. Am I misremembering?
Aren't these a pint? Yeah, nobody eats a pint of anything in one sitting, do they?
No. Well, okay, so yeah, I know it is.
Maybe they had a small version of it or something.
Exactly.
Little self-serve eat.
Look at the nutrition label on each pint of Halo Top. The serving size is still the typical half cup, but the brand says plays up the go ahead and eat the whole container. That's where I'm getting that.
You bought right into that marketing. Well done, Halo Top.
I didn't. I don't. But I misread it, but I didn't follow it.
I feel you. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Justin Robert Young will be here. I'm going to start things with an email today because I got this thing to read him. Before we go to that, though, a quick note that we are supported by you fine folks at home. Patreon.com/TMS is how you support this show. And when you do, it makes things run, truly. Big thanks to everybody who does. And it's a new month of a new year. May as well hop in now. Get extra content, get bonus stuff, get all kinds of cool monthly rewards. Over at patreon.com/TMS. Brian, let's have a song now, can we?
I would love that. How about this one right here? A Swedish blues rock band. Just let that sink in. A Swedish blues rock band. These guys sound like the Black Keys. They're called Black River Delta. And if you hear a band like, oh, here's a blues rock band called Black River Delta, you say, oh, I bet they're from Sweden. No, you wouldn't do that, right? But they are from Bollnäs, Sweden. And they've got a brand new single. Brand new single coming out from their album, which comes out this spring via Sofa Burn Records. Don't put your Gwyneth Paltrow candle on your sofa, Burn.
No.
This is the title track of their brand new album. It's called Shaken. Here is Black River Delta.
With a sweet pill, I rest until this day. With a sweet pill.
Oh man, I've been trying to cut down on carbs and sugar and unhealthy food in general. You've heard me talk about it on the show. Basically, it feels like I can't eat anything anymore as a result. It kind of drives me crazy. And with all this New Year business, we're all trying to eat better, right? But healthy breakfast doesn't have to be boring. Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors you love without all the bad stuff. And I really like them. Zero sugar, 11 grams of protein, and only 3 net grams of carbs for each serving. That's very small, as is the translation there. So many of you have asked, you know, how do you build your own custom variety box over there at Magic Spoon? We've been working with these guys for a while, and we have been asked that question. And now you can choose the best-selling versions of the cereal. Cocoa, fruity, frosted, blueberry flavors, plus brand new flavors, including peanut butter and cinnamon. Oh, they're talking my language. Anyway, it tastes amazing, and honestly, it's a little too good to be true, but it is. It's keto-friendly also, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. I think my new favorite, well, my favorite was cocoa, but I think my new favorite will probably be that peanut butter, sight unseen. I'll have to see when I get a box, but I want you guys to go to magicspoon.com/TMS and grab a variety pack and try it today. Be sure to use this promo code TMS at checkout and save $5 on that order. They're so confident in their product, by the way. It's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. That's magicspoon.com/TMS and use the code TMS to save $5 off your order. And we thank Magic Spoon for sponsoring today's show.
It's Darth Vader. Watch out. And he's got a lightsaber.
It's Kenner's Star Wars action figures, each sold separately.
I got you now, Ben Kenobi.
With R2-D2 and C-3PO. There's even Chewbacca and Han Solo.
Wish my mom made chicken like this.
Up, down, up, down. This is the Morning Stream.
Whoops, I was muted. And we're back, everybody. Hi, we're back from our song break that took 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't you just think we didn't just play music, because we did. We totally did.
Oh, yeah, I heard that. It was great. It was a really good song. I really liked that.
Yeah, that was awesome. Good. Very, very good. All right. Justin Robert Young going to be joining us here in a second. We'll do a little jury duty today. It's our civic duty to do jury duty. And we look forward to doing our duty. Always got to do your duty. I mean, that's the thing I really believe in. So let's start it out right.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Welcome to the show, Mr. Justin Robert Young. One day shy of the United States inauguration of a new president after a 4-year term. Exciting times all around. Justin, welcome to the show.
Oh, hello,
friends.
Oh, hi. Ooh, you're very quiet. I hear barely.
Oh, hold on. No, I just turned on my mic, which was probably why I was quiet.
It's got to warm up.
Yeah, it's got to warm up. It's old school. Just
all right, how about now?
A little louder.
A little louder?
A little bit louder now.
How about now?
Maybe a tiny bit more. A little more.
All right. How about now?
That's pretty good. Let's do that.
Perfect.
Cool. Hey, it's Justin Robert Young. What's going on, man? How the heck are you doing?
Oh, you know me. Just another day in paradise here. Very windy in Oakland today.
Oh.
I couldn't go for my run. I went out to the lake. I normally run around. And both of my ear pods blew out of my head. It was so windy.
Oh, man.
Wow.
You didn't lose them, did you? You got them okay?
No. I it did stop me from running around the lake because I was afraid that they were just going to blow off into the water.
Yeah. No, that's no good.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. That's hot. That's brisk winds.
Yeah.
We had some of that our own cells, but that usually means snow's coming. For you guys, it just means, what does it mean when it happens to you when you get a lot of wind? Nothing.
I don't know. It's never happened before. Yeah. So we're all going to find out.
All right.
Oh, gosh.
2021, surprises around every corner. Okay, I'm going to start today's discussion with a quick email because why not?
Sure.
I didn't prepare you for this one. It's not much to prepare for, but it's interesting. This is Carter wrote in, not my daughter, somebody else.
Another Carter.
Yeah, although pretty funny. This person's name is Carter Smith, and the character that we saw in the TV show when Kim was pregnant with Carter, which was an episode of
ER, wasn't it?
No, it was
CSI.
It's one of those like Twilight Zone shows, but it's not Twilight Zone.
Right. Tales from the Crypt or
Outer Limits. That's it.
Outer Limits. Okay.
Watching an episode of Outer Limits, and there's a female lawyer lady. And her name was Carter Smith. So this guy's got her name, his name. Or he has her name. Anyway, that's where
and
we got
either
her name
of them
from.
Are Coach Carter.
No, neither are Coach Carter. or Jimmy Carter. Okay, check this
or
out.
Or Linda Carter.
Says, hey, Mo, Larry, and the cheese. I assume Jerry's the cheese. I don't know what that means. Says, I love the segment with Jerry on the impeachment proceedings. I'm trying to figure out the odds on which party will destroy itself first and whether it will be a meltdown, an explosion, or a dumpster fire. I'll throw this freebie out there. What every party decides that rather than spending scarce resources on a ceremonial lynching on a matter that's moot in a couple of weeks, that does me no immediate help. What would help is if Congress directed all of that energy toward fixing the crisis at the post office. So basically he's saying, don't bother with the impeachment thing post election, just
spend
get straight
your, to spend your time important. And effort on fixing the postal service.
So he says this, bombed out by the shelling from COVID, creating a strain on the service from vastly increased volumes and staff out sick. This resulted in millions of post office workers and customers not receiving packages and vendors losing money from the lost sales and logistics troubleshooting. He says, yes, I have stake in this game. I've had many delays, including one package we've been tracking for 1.5 months. Whichever party fixes this gets my unabashed temporary support. it's a fairly easy fix. Just throw resources at it. Have the military help. They're good at logistics. Just a thought. Thanks for the shows, Carter. I just wondered if you had any sort of take on that.
Because I do like the pairing of the terms unabashed temporary support.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You will get my undying love for a few minutes.
Yeah.
For at least a fortnight.
Yeah.
So a few things that we can tease out of this. I don't want to go into the specific solutions because I am by no means an expert when it comes to the post office or how to fix it particularly. I will say that what he's suggesting is basically what people are betting on in Congress. That the further we get away, I mean, as of right now, as we speak to you on Tuesday morning, West Coast time at least, Donald Trump has scheduled the rest of his presidency. Yeah. He is going to take off from Andrews Joint Air Force Base early Wednesday morning. He's going to skip the inauguration. At that point, he will have no more presidential power. And what folks in Congress are betting on, specifically, I think some of the Republican senators who would not like to be on the record voting to remove a Republican president, is that the further we get away from not only January 6th, but also the Trump presidency, the more naturally our eyes will fixate on problems that are in the here and now and not a punishment that needs to be meted out for somebody that is no longer in power.
So time
I
heals
that is their strategy.
So kind of a time, not time heals all wounds, but time tends to add buffering so people can get distracted by other things. Other things get more important. What we are all fired up today about may not be a big deal tomorrow because we've had some time. So that's kind of what they're doing, right? They just,
well, and also it's what Joe Biden wants to do. Like, as much as people make a, you can say that the first 100 days is only ceremonial because we gave it the name, the first 100 days. There's nothing magical about it. It's not like there is a sacred energy that reverberates throughout the chamber or anybody's particularly nicer in those first 100 days. The only thing that the first 100 days really buys you is the idea that other things have yet to happen. And that's what happens in government. Other things happen. Crises happen. Issues happen. Certain politicians face other problems and now they have their alignment shifted one degree left or right. So if you are operating with a playing field, specifically one that now is advantageous to the Democrats because they control the Senate by way of a 50-50 tiebreaker with Kamala Harris, then now might be the time to hit the gas on what you want to do as opposed to taking time out to impeach. But that's going to be up to the leadership of the Senate in the next couple of days.
Now, you're in California. How does it work when, I know this has already probably taken place and I haven't paid a lot of attention to it, but Kamala Harris stepping down from her job in the Senate to now assume the job of vice president and / president of the Senate. How do they replace her? What is that process? Do we have to vote for somebody or not?
No. That's already done. She will be replaced by, I believe, oh man, I'm going to say Padilla, but I don't think it's Padilla. An incoming senator that was named by the governor. He will then run for her seat when her term comes up in this next midterm, because she was elected the same night that Trump won to the Senate back in 2016. So he will face a test in the next 2 years.
So that's a state governor decision, not decision to do it. But
nice. I got it. Padilla.
It is Padilla. Okay.
Yes. The governor names the replacement. And then so when Kamala Harris resigned, she resigned to the governor, but he had already made his selection on who would replace her.
So this, back to this mythical, not mythical, but this first 100 days, which we've kind of enshrined as a thing. No,
it might be overhyped, but it is not mythical. It is not.
It does exist. There are 100 days.
It is not a centaur, nor a minotaur, nor any other mythological beast or creature.
Or anything else with half man, half horse. Any of those. No. Any combination of those. What was my point going to be with that? Why is that so important? I mean, is it just here's the time you have to establish all of your plans, your changes, your tweaks, your agenda? Why limit it to 100? It's not like there's an election at the end of that cycle where suddenly there's a big upturn.
No. In fact, it's not a coincidence that it's the furthest away from your election that you will be, which is part of the other thing is that it is the dark side of the moon when it comes to elections. You are never going to be further away from re-election of the president. Here's why it's important. And a lot of this has gotten clouded by the fact that we don't have what for most of our lifetime has been the regular schedule for these kinds of elections, specifically the idea that an election happens on election night, we have a winner, and then the nation, whether or not they're upset or excited, agrees, all right, well, this person's going to be in charge. We all gave it our best shot. If you don't care about politics all the time, time to stop caring about politics. If you do care about politics, now you're going to care about the first 100 days. You have a relative time of calm, usually. We do not have that this time. We did not have that after 2016. You're able to negotiate with people behind the scenes. And more specifically, it shows you what the priorities of the president are going to be. because obviously during a campaign, a lot of things are said.
Yeah.
And so now you're going to really get the first measure of what they want to do. Do they want to go big initially? Do they want to get stuff done? Like maybe have more middle of the road stuff that they want to hammer in. Beyond that, you have the question of if there is going to be any kind of opposition based on the idea of a mandate. Mm. Like that's something that we usually used to hear about. Okay, well, there's a mandate for the president to do X, Y, or Z.
Yeah.
And now, you know, I don't even know if that exists anymore now that we are very, very, very bare knuckle in terms of how much we fight for every inch of legislative real estate.
So I was thinking of you when I read a headline about Schumer and McConnell coming together for some sort of agreement about how they wouldn't let stuff get stuck in committees. They would push things to the floor for votes, and they would do so jointly. And it was kind of this coming together of the two leaders of both halves of the Senate. And all I could think of is that you would probably tell me that that was just to ensure lots of lunches for these politicians, right? Because that's what that is. Like at the end of the day, like does that mean? A part of me wants to be optimistic about that and go, oh well, all right, this is that feels like an olive leaf of a sort between these factions where maybe real work gets done more often and it's a little less backstabby or whatever. But I don't feel like I'm that naive anymore, and I don't think that'll probably happen. So at the end of it, I just went, and Justin's probably right. They're just going to have lunch and stuff. A lot more lunches, food, you know?
Well, I mean, I think more might get done now because what you can say by the last 4 years is everybody in politics made a lot of money.
Yeah.
And they made a lot of money being very, very mad about how much money the other group of people were making, which in turn made everybody else mad, which made them give money to the politicians.
Right.
We don't know whether or not that's the case right now. Mm. We don't know exactly how much people are going to be dialed in. We don't know, what it's going to be. And a 50-50 Senate is a tricky thing to navigate. Like you don't have one party that can block stuff. You got two. So I think it is advantageous for both of them to say, all right, well, let's let things kind of go forward a little bit more. But you are right, Scott. At the end of the day, all roads lead to lunches for the Senate.
Yeah, just as I suspected. All right. If they don't, if this the Trump thing, post-election impeachment, removal, trial, all that stuff, does or doesn't happen, I want to try to get you to make a broad prediction here. Let's jump to 2024. Who do you, if you had to pick today?
Do we have to?
Yes.
Are we going to really, like, I'm doing very well with the chat right now. No one's called me a white supremacist and a racist yet. Can I please go one segment where you're not going to make me talk about Trump?
Here's all I want, because I don't, let's forget about Trump for now. Let's say he's out of it. And I know that, you know, if he was actually removed by the Senate and the vote went through, he can't run for office again. If they don't, he could. But let's just for a second pretend he's not going to run again at all and has nothing to do with anything in 2024.
Okay.
Other than an influence on the side, right?
Marty, it'll be his kids.
So that's part of my question. Do you, who do you think in this fracturing and kind of messy internal goings on in the Republican Party right now in terms of, you know, identity and who's who and what's what, and what does conservatism mean anymore? And, are we queuing on? Are we not queuing on? All this sort of thing. Who in that miasma do you, if you had to pick today, because I like when you make predictions, who do you say, oh yeah, that guy will be the front runner in 2024? Again, no Donald J. Trump in the mix. And you can use one of his kids if you want, but who do you think is that guy or lady? Is it Josh Hawley? Is it?
No, it's very hard. It's very hard because there was a meta, and then January 6th, I think, really shook it up.
Yeah.
But we don't know exactly how much it got shaken up. So the meta before January 6th was whether or not Trump runs again, there is this working class Trump base that people are going to want to inherit, right? And among the people that would most likely inherit it were Mike Pence, Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, blah, blah, blah. Mike Pence took himself out of that running leading up to and during January 6th because he kind of like reestablished himself with this other side of the like, we described it on PX3 as the splitting of the GOP into the ye old and ye ha Republicans. And so the ye old are going to be principled. You're going to hear that a lot. Principled conservatism, a bedrock. We're going to go back to the way it used to, old glory, blah, blah, blah.
Bringing sexy back.
What was that?
Bringing sexy back.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you consider a Heritage Foundation luncheon a real erotic affair,
I do. Yes, indeed,
it is bringing sexy back.
Wow.
Meanwhile, you have the Yeehaw Republicans, which is going to be the kind of like rebranded version of Trump's base, working class, not the country club. This is the dive bar. This is going to be trying to hoover up some of the voters that the Democrats are leaving behind as they become ever more coastal and college educated. You want to take that element of the country up to and including a lot of increased minority support. So right now I have no idea. If I were to make a guess of people with really high profiles and executive experience that might have the juice, it would be Pence, but I also think he's a terrible candidate. So I have no idea.
Yeah, I kind of don't either, which is why I ask, because normally I could go, well, you know, that rising star so-and-so, but it feels like that all got, those eggs got scrambled a bit earlier in the month, and I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, look, what happened on the 6th is by all available polling and by anecdotal observation was a bridge too far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they had stayed outside the Capitol and just chanted, it would have been something that I think Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz would still be there saying, well, you know, look, if Trump's old and he decides he doesn't want to run, or God forbid something happens to him health wise, then that's theirs for the taking. But as soon as they run up into the Capitol and start, you know, smashing stuff and stealing laptops and trying to sell it to the Russians and the Q shamans there and all that, like,
yeah.
You know, that kind of takes it from a theme of revolution to actual revolution. And in general, that is an all or nothing proposition. And you can't do that from inside the government.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that, my favorite video, because lately there have been a bunch of video taken inside there during the riot and being now just surfacing, and some of it is freaky, but some of it is like there's this guy who's rifling through Ted Cruz's desk in the Senate chamber.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, it's fine. It's fine. I think Ted would want me to do this.
He'd want me to do this. Yeah.
And he's just rifling through
Cruz
his desk.
Cruz would be okay with this.
Yeah, he'd be fine with it. And I'm like, I don't know. Even if he likes you, I don't think he'd be fine
with it. I mean, I'll tell you what. The funny thing is if the opinion polls had stayed higher, Ted Cruz might have brought him on stage and said, I think that you're a great person. And I'm very glad that you stole my papers.
That's a pretty good Ted Cruz. Not bad. All right. Well, that's where we're at, everybody. Tomorrow's the big day. I saw that because they can't do the, you know, so much of this in-person stuff, they put a flag out for every person that would be there. So
I think, yeah, of all the representatives of, I think it's like 200 and something flags of all the, or no, maybe less than that, of all the states and territories. Yeah. It's a thing. They got a lot of flags. They're going to flag it up, and there's going to be a lot of music. Garth Brooks is going to perform. Let me ask you this. You know, the New Radicals are going to reunite, Scott.
I heard about this.
Really?
Yeah.
I hear they get what they
did. Did you not hear about this? The New Radicals for the first time in 20 years is going to reform.
So wait, doesn't that include, isn't Marilyn Manson's in that group or something?
No. They name check Marilyn Manson. There was they name check Marilyn Manson and Courtney Love.
Beck Hansen and Courtney Love. Fashion shows with Beck and Hansen, Courtney Love and Marilyn Manson. You're all fakes. Run to your mansions. Come around. We'll kick your asses.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking then. Okay. All right. Well,
I wonder if they're going to replace those lyrics. Because they're a little dated now. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can say kick your ass in at an inauguration.
No, but it rhymes is the problem. So yeah, got to figure out a new couplet for mansions.
Cash.
I was thinking a lot about them after I read that news because, number one, I mean, that single still is great. It is an awesome single. Slaps. And it retains some of that late 90s. Vibe without feeling super late 90s.
Mm-hmm. Oh, someday we'll know. That was the other big single they had.
Mm.
They were a two-hit wonder. Yeah,
but yeah, they broke up right after that. Mm-hmm. I guess the guy was a producer and a lyricist for a bunch of other people.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be interesting to see them. But in listening to "You Get What You Give," I was like, oh man, these guys really filled the Maroon 5 slot before Maroon 5 came around.
Yeah.
They kind of did, yeah.
Yeah, they prepared the way.
If the New Radicals are getting back together.
Falsetto lead kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So this gives me more hope for a Spin Doctors reunion.
Yeah. Well, you've been chomping at the bit for that for years.
Just chomping at the bit for that.
Hey, yeah. Aren't they still touring?
The dude performs solo.
The singer guy,
God, what's his name? He actually had throat cancer issues for a while, if I remember correctly. It was some sort of medical issue.
They were touring not too long ago, though, right? A couple years ago?
Oh, were they? Maybe they've already gotten back together and I didn't know?
They broke up again. Man. catch up.
There was an opportunity.
Chris Barron. That's it. Chris Barron.
Ashley knows one of the people who's playing in Spin Doctors, and we were invited. They were playing at this festival about an hour and a half north of us, and we were invited to go hang out with them, and we just didn't because it was an hour and a half away.
That's reason enough for me.
Oh, a lot.
Yeah. Well, okay, I grossly exaggerated the size of the split. What's great is Wikipedia has those stripes that tell you the members of a band and like how they changed around. I love those infographics.
Oh, yeah. So you can see who was there the entire time.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And there's like Chris Barron, Eric Schenkman, and Aaron Cornes are the three guys or four guys, Mark White, who've been in the whole time. But there's a large gap in the early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s, where nothing's happening. And I think that's where I heard that they broke up. And I thought it was some sort of medical issue with
I'm glad to hear it isn't.
Chris Barron. Does sound familiar.
Hmm.
It sounds like they might have taken a...
here we go. May 17th, 1999, 2 weeks before the release of their album, Here Comes the Bride, Barron woke up unable to talk, lost his voice due to a rare acute form of vocal cord paralysis that severely affected his ability to talk, let alone sing.
Weird.
He had a 50-50 chance of ever talking or singing normally again, and then his voice came back in early 2000.
That's crazy. So that's why they went quiet. It wasn't because the band broke up or something.
That's right. Okay. Literally went quiet.
Yeah, that's insane. That's better than cancer, though. That's way better than cancer.
Yeah, way better than cancer.
Yeah, I'm going to start a band called Better Than Cancer. It's going to be awesome.
Better Than Cancer. That feels like more of an album.
It does. Than a band name. Yeah. Well, we'll see what we can get.
In fact, your band name should just be Cancer.
Yeah, there you go.
And the album and then should the be album Better Than Cancer.
Better Than Cancer. Yeah, I like it. Well, we've solved all the problems, that included. Hey, Justin, it's always fun to have you on. Tuesdays wouldn't be the same without it. But there's more. And is there anything in particular you should be making people listen to this week?
Sure. So obviously, Inauguration Day episode coming out tomorrow of Politics, Politics, Politics. We will be joined to reset the political world by my mom. My mom comes back on the show.
Oh, the great write-in vote of 2016. That's fantastic.
That's right.
Yeah, presidential vote receiver in 2016 and 2020. Two-time presidential vote receiver, Gloria Young. We will be talking about that. Oh, and I got a new merch store.
Oh.
Politicsmerch.com. Politicsmerch.com is where you can get your PX3 merch, mugs, masks, pillow. Somebody got a pillow yesterday, a t-shirt, all sorts of stuff.
Oh,
very
cool. Oh, yeah, look at that.
The logos for Politics, 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 for
Raise the Dead
Season 1, Raise the Dead Season 2. It is all there for you. Just head on over to politicsmerch.com.
I love it.
Yeah, this is awesome.
I'm amazed you got politicsmerch.com. Feels like that would have been a URL that was snatched up, but good job snatching that up.
Yep.
I'm a snatcher, baby.
If Van was a little younger, he's almost two now, so he doesn't wear these anymore, but I want to get that logo onesie with your face on it for him. He's too big.
Have a mask on the way. I got a mask, but I think I had to do one with the Raise the Dead logo on it because it would be too weird if I had a mask with my own face on the mask.
We did that with the Ibbot face, and I don't know if I ever saw you wearing it. Did I see you wearing it, Brian?
I don't know if you did. I have it upstairs.
One of these days, you gotta
wear it. It would be
a little
fine.
Small for my giant head.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be fine if we were in like a con situation or something like that. I just don't know if I have the fortitude to walk around and just have it dawn on people like, is that
guy?
Is that you?
Is he wearing anything at all?
Your own?
Should I be mad at him because he's not wearing a mask? But
if I wore a picture of my face on a mask, then people would know what my face looked like.
Yeah, actually, maybe you're onto something here. Personalized face mask for everybody. Then we're not so strangery to each other. We just look like anime characters where our mouths don't move very much, right? Mm-hmm. We're just sort of, how's it going?
Maybe just the mouth. No, because then nobody gets the mouth size right.
No,
you know, it always looks like you have a gigantic gigantic mouth.
That's the issue with the mask when I wear it is that it doesn't it looks like I've got a much smaller mouth than a little black square.
I've yet to find one that truly fits me because I have a giant noggin.
I'll talk to you after the show, Tina. I've got some masks.
Some larger ones. All right. Maybe you can find me some hats while you're at it because it's the same problem. I can't find any hats that fit me.
I can't help you there.
All right. Justin, always a pleasure. Check this out. Whoops.
The jury will now retire.
Yay! I remembered it. Justin Robert Young, everybody. We'll see you later.
Well done, sir.
Yep. Didn't have to be reminded. Oh, I see someone in the chat tried to remind me. I didn't see a reminder. I did it on my own, Dreadneck. I did it on my own. Okay. Brian, good news.
All by myself.
Good news. We have a bonus mashup today.
Ooh, bonus.
Yeah, a bonus. Bone us. All right? This is what we're going to do. We're going to play this bonus mashup. It's called Bonus Mashup Aussie Woman. And I'm told by Jamie that this features a lot of Brian impressions. All right.
Really? Aussie woman, though. All right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So sit back and let this wash over you like a warm stream. Here it comes.
Okay.
Right now.
Hey, just getting my pollen. Don't mind me.
They got a thing in their bum.
Do, 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 do. Just getting some pollen.
Anyway, we're here to fix the cable.
Still have to use one chicken. One chicken you still have to use. The rest is lab grown. And no RFID chips. We promise. There are no RFID chips in this one chicken much plant product.
Yeah.
Hi, can I take your order as soon as I'm finished posting this Instagram of how much I hate my job?
Juab County? Juab. That's
Juab.
It's a religious muscle.
I am going to go work on my Juabs.
that was
a look at my judelts.
That was a terrible joke.
Don't eat your meat on the Thursday. Don't eat your meat on the Friday. My back seat looks like you've exploded a cow in there and you're naming it after my company.
What are you doing? They don't pay me enough for this. It looks like you took a shit.
Admitted undergoing regular Mugworth V-Steam treatments at the Ticken Spa in Santa Monica, which cleanses her private parts and uterus and provides...
perform this?
It was a place.
It's a sorting hat. You're going to go to the Mugworth V-Steam treatments at the Ticken Spa.
Vaginas clean out us.
Oh, well, no, I still don't have it. I'm in focus. Yeah. All right, good. Well, it's very sparkly.
I made you an Apple Watch band from my own human hair.
Mr. Tench, have I not told you how I made this
Hello,
thing?
Agent Ford. Hello, Agent Tench.
You know, I was going to throw that lawnmower out, but, you know, it'd be a much better idea.
Yeah, we should shoot that shit.
Take it and fill it up with Tannerite and go shoot it in the woods.
That's right.
Well, quesalupa is going to be my appetizer, and I'm going to have a taco salad and a Mexican pizza right after.
Could you take these same 7 ingredients and make a whole nother dish?
That's right.
Thank you.
This next paragraph is a quote. You need to do it in one of your accents for the
Australian. All right, so this is a female, so higher voice, yep. Australian. All right, here we go.
It had to jump a couple of fences to actually get to me, and by the last fence, I thought, oh my God, this kangaroo is not going to stop.
I like that you prefaced it by saying, all right, female, and then just didn't do anything close.
Exactly. Yes.
Or are you saying all females in Australia sound like men?
Oh, that part about the 7 ingredients made me laugh. I don't know why. Also, you doing a voice of what's his name on that show and talking about Agent Tench makes me miss that show.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it makes me miss Mindhunter.
So good. Gosh dang it, Netflix, work a deal out.
Come back, Mindhunter.
I need to know. Bill Tench sitting on a bed with his hands in his face. I can't just be left like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's such a good show. It made me choke on the smoothie my wife made me.
Mm.
Got a seed in the wrong hole. Hey, look at this.
Hello.
We're done with the show. I'd like to thank everybody for being here. Thanks for listening live and those who listen later, for those who support us and everybody else in between. Frogpants.com/TMS. If you're looking for anything, you want to email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. Lots of great feedback in there nestled among all the emails about vagina candles exploding. So keep those coming. We appreciate it. That's going to do it for today's show. But before we go, we have to play music. So Brian, please play it.
Yes, Lex, who goes by All Red. Oh, no, I think that might be his last name, but it's in parentheses. I thought that might be his chat room name. I don't know who you are in the real world or on the fake world, but in my spreadsheet, you're known as Lex.
I have a niece named Lexi, and we call her Lex, and her last name is All Red. So we have a Lex All Red in my family. Yeah. Anyway.
Did she used to own a coffee shop?
No. Nope.
Oh, okay.
She's too young. Well. She's, I think she 20. I think she's 20.
Okay. Yeah, 21. That's a little early. That's a little young to be used to owning a coffee shop. I'll tell you how I figured that out. Okay. So Lex's email begins, I used to own a coffee shop. And okay. And this person was a regular visitor. When I found out he made music professionally, I looked him up and found this amazing cover. I'm also a big fan of his blues rock project, Raven Eye, but this is such a fun cover, I keep going back to it. The performer's name is Ollie Brown, O-L-I Brown. And this is some great, man, it's an all blues rock music day here on the show, which is just fine with me. It's a great, great genre. This is Ollie Brown from the 2010 album Heads I Win, Tails You Lose, with a cover of Blackstreet's No Diggity.
Oh, it's perfect. All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow for another Wednesday edition of the show. Thanks for being here. We'll see you then.
Should I get down, good Lord? Baby got them open all over town. Strictly bitch, she won't play around. Cover much ground, got game by the pound. Get them paid as a forte, each and every day. A true play away. I can't get her out of my mind. I think about the girl all the time. East side to the west side, pushing fat rides, it's no surprise. She got tricks in the stash, stacking up the cash. Best when it comes to the gas. By no means out fresh, she's on where she's got to have it. wanna get in. Can I get down so I can win? I like the way you work it, no diggity. I got to bag it up. I like the way you work it, no diggity. I got to bag it up. I like the way you work it, no diggity. I got to bag it up. I like the way you work it, no diggity. I got to bag it up. She's got class and style, street knowledge by the pound. Baby, never I wow. Very low key on the profile. Catching villains is a no. Let me tell you how it goes. Cause the word spins the verb. Lovers that curse, don't freak what you heard. Oh, only with the fatness. You don't even know what the half is. You gotta pay to play. Just for sure they bam bam to look your way. I love the way you're working. Drum tie all day, every day. You're blowing my mind. Maybe in time, baby, I can get you in my ride. I like the way you're working, no diggity. I got to bag it up. I like the way you're working, no diggity. I got to bag it up. I like the way you're working, no diggity. I got to bag it up. I like the way you're working, no diggity. I got to bag it up. I got to bag it up. I like the way you're working, no diggity. I got to bag it up. I like the way you're working, no diggity. I got to bag it up. I like the way you're working, no diggity. I like the way you're working, no diggity. I got to bag it up. Bag it up. I like the way you're working. Diggity, girl, I gotta bag it up. Bag it up. Like the way you work it.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
It takes heat to bring out the odor.
Uh-huh.